Today is going to be a unique Sunday for us. It's going to be a lot of information. If you have your bulletins, will you please stick them up in the air so I can see that everybody has a bulletin? If you don't have one, I don't want to say shame on you, but that's okay. You're going to be needing this today. There's going to be a lot of information coming at you. For what you can do right off the bat is turn it to the back. Typically, that's where we have our sermon outline. But right now it has the information of our leadership team. And so, just to give you a heads up, the whole purpose, the reason why Gilead Friends Church exists, our mission, is to be and to make active disciples. Disciple is someone who is a learner. He's a learner. Someone who wants to follow a teacher or a wise person, we'd say a rabbi, referring to Jesus. But it's not so much just to be a learner, but it's active. It is, I want to so closely resemble who I'm learning from that I begin to resemble this person in word, in deed. And so that is our purpose. That is our mission here at Gilead Friends, to be and to make these active disciples of Jesus Christ. To begin here in this space and then to go forth into our communities, into our world. And so what I wanted to do today was give you a little heads up of kind of a who's who of Gilead Friends Church leadership, and we call them elders, and then the elders are going to come up, introduce themselves, explain why they hold this position, what this position does, and then they're going to introduce their commission, that's basically their team, and how each of these team members and all the ministries and all these intricacies, how that functions in our mission, which is to be and to make active disciples. How many of you, it was back in the 90s, everything was about how things worked. You know those telephones where it was clear and inside the guts of it, the gears and the gizmos was neon, so you could look inside to see how those things worked. Anybody remember those things, the telephone and I think other different clocks and things? That's what it's kind of like today is. We're going to look at the guts of this church. And so I thought it'd be fun to kind of treat it like the Oscars, where everybody comes up, and we're not going to have an award, but we are going to have this beautiful picture of our elders with motion backgrounds. And if I had the time, and if I was such creative, I had this vision of, you know, when you watch the NFL, and they say, let's meet our offensive team. And they say, you know, so-and-so plays for, you know, Michigan State or whatever. It has a little heads. I was like, oh, if we could do that with our elders. He's like, you know, he's looking down off and his face comes up. Todd Rederer, elder of spiritual life, Gilead Friends Church. Would that not be awesome? Sadly, we're not going to get that. Next time we'll try that. So without further delay, let us introduce our first person. Let's see if I have control. Here we go. Come on up and share with us.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Bob Hinkle. I am the presiding elder, and the reason I'm in this position is because Harvey wore me down. Blessed to be able to be before you and be in this position. My responsibilities as presiding elder really is to just get a sense of where we are at, to understand where we're at as a church, and to gauge unity and just discern, exactly are we where we need to be, and to work with Pastor Richard and the other four elders and just as a leadership team and unity as we move forward.
Bob's obviously taller than I am. I'm Todd Redder, Spiritual Life Elder. You guys want to come on up? On our commission, we have Faith and Lori, plus another one, Kenny Cowles, who is on vacation this morning. Yeah, my if I would have thought ahead, I would have gotten one of the most embarrassing childhood pictures of Kenny we could have found and put up there. Our commission, Spiritual Life Commission, primarily focuses on areas that surround the worship service and spiritual formation that is apart from Sunday school. Like within Spiritual Life Commission is where life groups come out of, and it's our task to keep that moving. We've also got, like I said, worship services, what goes on in that, keeping contact with regular attenders, membership, and then some of the special events. To talk a little bit more about that, Faith standing closest, so said whoever was closest had to go first. Faith?
My name is Faith Kunze. I'm the coordinator of worship, which basically entails your experience here on a Sunday morning as far as from how you're being greeted at the door to the music that's up front. So it kind of all entails under my area. I did want to recognize a few people that we have. Dan Harvey, who led worship this morning. He is the worship leader, so he coordinates all the people, wonderful musicians and singers that we have every Sunday morning, and we really appreciate them and the effort they put into it. And then we have a technical director, which is Brad Mosier, and he takes care of all the AV system and that everything works on a Sunday morning. And he works closely with Joe McCormish, and then Joe Baker also helps with that. So I really appreciate them, those guys. They come in early on the Sunday morning, and they get things rolling, and so it's all ready for us on the Sunday. So I appreciate them. So that's basically my area.
Hi, I'm Lori McLean, and I'm the coordinator of overseers here at Gully Friends. And basically, we take care of membership, but we've even expanded that recently within the last couple of years to include regular attenders as well, too. So we care about each and every one of you guys that are here. And that's why it's really important with the pew pads and stuff, because we work with Rachel in the office, and if you are missing, we like to contact you and just let you know, hey, we missed you, and that we'd like to see you back. So that's one of our most important jobs here. If you are an overseer, if you would just stand up real quick, if you don't mind. If you're an overseer here at Gully Friends, thank you, ladies. No, Barb. All right. Thank you very much. They're very special to me, and we just have a great time. Taking care of you guys is our mission. So,
good morning. Come on, guys. I'm Greg Carnes. Hi, John. Thank you. That's my lovely wife, Carol, up there. She makes me look good. I humbly serve as your elder of education because somebody asked me to do so, and I said yes. But I'm very humble to do so. Our goal as the Education Commission is to serve you and make sure the material and the things that we teach our children and our adults are really in harmony with our mission and our doctrine, and whether through Sunday school, youth group, Vacation Bible School, whatever we do, and the literature we provide, that is our goal. I've been blessed to have such an amazing team. You appointed some really amazing people here. And the more I know them, the more I'm truly appreciate their talents and their gifts and how hard they really work. I'll let them come up and tell you what they do.
I'm Michelle Webb. I'm Children's Ministry Coordinator. I came up with some statistics kind of to back up children's ministry a little bit. So nearly 80% of people who decide to accept Christ as their Savior do so before the age of 18. Nearly 50% of those people make that decision before the age of 12. So a real nice example last week was in our baptism service. Four out of the five people that we had on stage making a public commitment were under the age of 14. So we just take children's ministry very important. Our goal is to teach and train children to be disciples of Christ. And we do that by providing our staff with a very gospel-centered curriculum. So we start in Genesis, and everything ties into God's story of redemption. So I would like, Lori did a nice job of having everybody stand up that is part of children's ministry. So I'd like to do that because there's quite a few. So if you would, if you are in all involved in children's ministry, from reception to preschool, large group helpers, on my Sunday school staff, if you could stand up just so we can see who all is involved. Thank you.
Hi. Okay. I'm Kayla Schock, and I'm the coordinator of youth education. I just started in January, so it's kind of all brand new. I'm really lucky to be part of a great team. There's six of us right now that are working together to do the Sunday morning Sunday school, which is led by Rob Webb, and we've recently started doing the Gospel Project. So now we have a cohesive curriculum from preschool all the way through our youth group. And I just think that since Pastor Richard said this can be kind of an infomercial, I would like to say that we are actively seeking a youth group leader at this time. I just would ask you to prayerfully consider if that's something you feel called to do. It is part-time, and all of us plan on staying on. You have a really great team of six, and now recently Gina Brewer also stepped up to help. So now we have seven volunteers working with the youth, and we will not be leaving you stranded. We want to help you and come alongside you, but we really need someone that's willing to pour into our kids. I was going to kind of piggyback on Michelle's statistics, but I think that we all know, as we've listened to the stories over the last several weeks, how important youth group is and kind of the teenage years for our kids. They're very formative, and we really just need to be loving and pouring into these kids and letting them know how much we care about them and that Jesus loves them and really making them active disciples of Jesus. So I would ask you to prayerfully consider possibly taking on that position and just also just praying for each other and praying for our youth, and let's go really try to remember how important they are to our church and the growth of our church. So I won't make anyone stand up because I actually don't think anyone's here besides Michelle. I don't see Gina. I don't see Tyler, Bree. Okay, so, oh, is Tyler here? Okay, Tyler, you can stand up. They're right. So thank you, guys.
All right, I'm Adam Busby, and coordinator of the adult Sunday school education area. So this position hasn't been filled for quite a while. We're in the progress of kind of figuring out exactly how all of that works. But I support the Sunday school teachers for the adult classes. So those teachers, go ahead and stand up in here. I see a couple. So we got one over here, got some right here. All right, so we were going over some of the numbers for Sunday school, and I hate to let half of you know what's going on, but 50% of the church is currently coming to Sunday school class, and the other 50% is kind of missing out. So we would like to encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to please come to Sunday school and join the rest of us, and we'll be getting some more information to you on the different topics and fun things that we have currently. There is a men's Sunday school class. We're walking through Romans and how that connects with just real-life questions. And then currently the ladies have a Sunday school class. And then we have Rick is leading an Acts class on the book of Acts, and that is made up of a lot of different couples. And then we have Marty back in the back, and she has another adult Sunday school class getting together, and they're walking through life topics, things there also. So again, Sunday morning, everybody good? We'll see you there.
I'm Phil McChesney, Elder of Stewardship. Been Elder of Stewardship since 2011, I think. So 6 years, seems like 20. No, honestly, it's quite a blessing. My commission is responsible for, the big picture would be responsible for finances and facilities. We are responsible for all the business of the church. We are the bottom line responsibility of all the bottom line financials of all the ministries of the church. We're the ones who get to make the hard decisions about what gets funded, what doesn't. So when you've got a special project or mission or ministry that needs funds and it doesn't happen, it's his fault. But no, we work very much as a team. Like I said, we're responsible for all the business of the church. That gets pretty big. We have accountants that work, that monitor our books. I also don't want to forget Rachel Marazzi, who is not only the church office manager. She is also the church financial secretary, which she is awesome. Many of you, I'm sure, know how good she is with managing the church office. She is every bit as thorough and detail-oriented on the finances. We would not survive without her. She is awesome. Thank you, Rachel. So she is not listed there because she's not a technical voting member of our commission. So the other members of my commission are Tyler and Greg. They can tell what they do. And then our third member is Rob Webb, who's not here. Rob is our coordinator of finance, which Rob's responsibilities is mainly budget. He prepares the budget. He prepares the budget. We review as a team. And then on a monthly basis, we review that budget. We review the monthly finances and make those decisions that need made. So these guys can tell what they do.
My name is Tyler Wall. I'm coordinator of stewardship promotion. And right now that's been heavily focused on the online giving. So if you're like me and you don't like writing paper checks or don't know how to write paper checks, got to ask your wife for how to write a paper check, all you have to do is go onto the website and you can set up your weekly, I think biweekly or monthly giving online. And you don't have to worry about bringing your checkbook to every Sunday to service, and you just hit the submit button and you don't have to worry about it from that point forward. So that's what we've been focused on over the last year that I've been on the stewardship committee, is that online giving, and Rachel's been a huge part of that, of hooking that up to the website.
I'm Greg Mooney, and I'm the coordinator of trusteeship. Basically, I'm the building trustee. I have the use and care of all the facilities, and I was talking with somebody the other day, and they said they were, talking with a person in the community, said, I go to Gilead Friends Church, and that person said, oh, you go to the big church. Well, we are blessed with a big facility here, plus the one up at North Campus. While discipleship is normally between people, when we start together for worship, for learning, for fellowship, for the celebrations of life, the facilities are an important tool in that. They're not the end all, but they're a tool. And we are blessed with some excellent facilities here. And for those that don't know, Monday through Friday, this building we're in here is engaged from 6:30 in the morning till about 9 o'clock at night. And the North Campus building is about 10 hours a day and some on the weekends also. So these buildings are not sitting empty. They're being used for the glory of God.
Hello. If the members of my commission could go ahead and come up as well, I'd appreciate it. You have to excuse my voice. Weekend of coaching, reffing, and devotions has hurt it quite seriously. But first of all, I took this position mainly because Todd and Jill bought us Mexican dinner, and it was very tasty. So if you guys ever need anything, just give me some food. I might help you out. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm already a big part. I'm the coordinator for Hoots for Him, and I'm a big part of, or one of my strong suits is building relationships. I think that's a big part of being and making active disciples is starting those relationships, no matter even how early, even if it begins just with a handshake. So I'm very excited to be a part of that. So, of course, Hoots for Him, one of our biggest ministries. It is a massive 10-week coordination disaster, pretty much. And I couldn't do it, not even close, without the incredible team we have. If you could go ahead and stand up, my committee, my leadership team, Dan, Harvey, Joe Baker, Colin, Allwood, Anthony Marazzi, and, of course, Rachel Marazzi, who is, as you all know, she is a big savior for me. So I couldn't do it without them. Of course, we provide financial assistance for people in the community, for utility bills and rent, things such as that. And then Sunshine Bus is under my commission, which, of course, you guys, most of you know about, but it's a great ministry. Goes to different areas and brings the word of Jesus to a lot of little kids who desperately need them. So if anyone involved with that, Miss Kitty, I know Brad Snow is going to be involved with that this year. Please go and stand up if you are heavily involved. I mean, it's a huge ministry, and it's very important for our children. So, yeah, absolutely. But also, back, I wanted to use a platform, advertise Hoots for Him, guys. Still plenty of time. Sign up, get volunteered, get here to volunteer. Even through all of our headaches and with the coordinating and stuff, when we finally get to the games and you sit there and you watch the 5 and 6-year-olds play, it's all worth it because it's endless entertainment if you've ever seen it. And not only the joy of the players, but you watch the people in the stands, and they just all have smiles on their face. And like yesterday, I was thinking just it's great for that moment, at least that hour. Even the fans, you know, they're not thinking about their problems. They're enjoying watching their kids play. And it's a big deal, and I think we underestimate that. So please, we want to see you here. We need to see our church members here, so please get signed up if you haven't already. Other than that, I'll quit talking. And I'll let. Oh, wait, I guess Harvey Mosier had to end up leaving. Harvey Jr., he is a coordinator for evangelism, excuse me, and church growth. He is also, we're just starting a new program to provide rides to church, so we're kind of in the beginning process of that, but Harvey's leading that, and he's also kind of leading service projects whenever those may need done. So that's his role, and then I'll let these fine ladies explain theirs. Thanks.
I'm Alita Jones, and I'm coordinator of foreign missions, which I guess my job is to kind of stand in the gap for you and foreign missions, kind of either have missionaries come and tell you what they're doing, help you to learn about missionaries that the EFC is equipping and sending overseas. Also to provide projects that'll help fund missions, and then also to help, hopefully in the future, to equip and send some of you over to overseas to be missionaries, whether long-term or short-term.
I'm Patty Lou Levering. I'm coordinator of congregational service planning, and I help plan all the meals, Thanksgiving meals and things like that, and for funeral dinners and for some of the ladies or anybody that has been in the hospital for surgeries and different things, we take in food to them also. And if there's any of you ever want to sign up to take meals someplace or help for some of these dinners, we'd be greatly to have you.
So that is your leadership team. Everybody's clear? You have it all memorized? And you can recite it back to me? One of the reasons why I thought I wanted to do that is because I had been getting a lot of people coming up and saying, who do I talk to for, or who do I ask if I want to? And so I thought, why not, instead of just, you know, picking and choosing, we'll just go ahead and have one big time, and you can take this bulletin home, and now you have it, with names and things to find out. Also, there was someone who had said, you know, who do I give a hug to because this was so great? And no matter who it rightfully belongs to, I was like, give it to me. I take the hug. It's, you know, I'll accept that on their behalf. So this is your leadership team as we talk about being and making active disciples. But I don't want you to think that it stops with them. You know, I don't want you to think that, okay, look at these number of names on this bulletin, how fantastic it is. I'm so glad they have everything under control. Think of this church as a train, a steam engine train. And we need people like the leadership team to start shoveling the coal into the furnace to get the train to go. And these people are doing a great job, are doing fantastic, but we want everyone else to have fun on the engine of this train. You know, you can be in the passenger's car and just enjoy the ride, how fantastic this is. You could be in the caboose and you're pulling the brake, oh, I don't like where this train is going. But what we're looking for is for everybody who considers Gilead Friends Church their church, where you go on Sunday morning, to join us in this engine and just shoveling in this coal to get us going. With this in mind, let's have a quick word of prayer. Pray for our leaders, pray for the scripture that we're going to look at, and then also for us, that what I'm about to share hopefully will take root in your minds and your hearts. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for these men and women who have agreed to be the leaders of Gilead Friends Church in these specific commissions and roles and responsibility. We thank you for their gifts, for their talents, for their wisdom and knowledge. Lord, for these next few minutes as we discuss our church, and we come in really, really focused here locally and then possibly branching out once we leave this room into the world around us, Father, may your spirit move among us. May you encourage us. May you reveal to us the areas that we can join in at this engine of this train, providing momentum. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you still have your bulletin, why don't you hold that up so I see you're still awake, you're still paying attention. Inside are a number of pieces of paper that we're going to look at. Adam shared about Sunday school class. On this sheet of paper, it's two sides. It's the color one. On the one side, you see a map of the facilities, and they give you the location, the room numbers of every Sunday school class that we have. Take this home with you. Put it on your refrigerator. So maybe even give it to a friend if you're interested in what kind of classes we provide. It gives you the room number, the teacher, and at what time, and then there's a lovely little map for you. On our facilities, as you walk around, you'll see a map like this that will point you to specific rooms. On the other side is what we call our life groups, where in this big setting is wonderful to celebrate as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's wonderful to worship together. But then there's also something to be said about going smaller. And it's a word that some guys aren't too comfortable with, what we'll say intimate. It's a smaller meeting in living rooms where you discuss things, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But here's the text that I want us to look at. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 37. Jesus sees the crowds of people around him, and we read that Jesus has compassion on this crowd. He's concerned about this mass of humanity. Because Matthew writes that they are harassed, they're sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus, he sees the need. And he tells his followers here in Matthew 9, 37 to 38, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Just look around and you can see there just aren't that many workers. And then he says to his followers, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So he tells his followers, pray to God. God, would you raise up, would you send out workers to minister to these people, to serve them, to reveal yourself to them. So it's this big prayer, God, send the workers. And this is a great prayer for all of us to pray, right? It is wonderful for us to go to God in prayer and say, God, would you raise up workers for your harvest? Because the same thing is true now as it was then. The harvest is so plentiful. There is a hunger in this society, in this generation, for spiritual things. Not so much religious things that, you know, some people, they've grown up and they're the generation of nuns, which means they don't check any kind of religious affiliation, but they're interested, they're hungry, they're intrigued by spiritual things. So there is this wide open harvest field for people to go and send in. I'm glad you're interested in spiritual things. Let me tell you about the creator of these things. And what's fascinating about this text in Matthew, he tells his followers, pray to God, pray that he would send workers to his harvest field. And then the very next chapter, because that's how chapter 9 ends, chapter 10 begins, and you read that Jesus says to his followers, now you're going to go. So you prayed to God, God, would you send these workers? And then guess what? Jesus says, my paraphrase, you're your answer to your prayer. Isn't that wonderful how God works? So I challenge you, as we pray this prayer, God, would you send workers into this, what is it, 21st, 22nd century harvest field? As you pray, God is going to work on you because he has given you talents. He has given you abilities. He has given you friends, co-workers. I call it spheres of influence. There's another scripture example that whenever I read it, I just get so excited because it's Jesus is just brilliant. In Mark chapter 6, there's again a large crowd of people, and they've been with him for a long time, and it's getting time for dinner, and so they're like, Jesus, you got to send these people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Jesus, get rid of these people. They're hungry. Do something, in other words. And I love Jesus' response. Again, he tells his followers, you do it. You give them something to eat. And if you know the story, then they go around like, oh, man, now we're on. And so they have to figure out, okay, what do we have? And they find fish and bread, which was a common meal in that area. And it's like, it was almost like these, like little children. They're like, okay, Jesus, this is all we got. You know, is this good enough? And Jesus is like, you've done your part. Now let me do my part. And he blesses it. And it just feeds everyone in abundance. Keep that in mind where Jesus says, you do your part. Now let me do my part. We don't save people. We tell people about the Savior. Let Jesus do his part. Jesus saves. So with those two scriptures in mind, as we're talking about this, as I'm encouraging you, I'm challenging you, let's get in this engine of this train. What is your next step as we look at this? As we make and as we are active disciples of Jesus Christ, Gilead Friends has a process. It's a very simple three-step process included in this discipleship-making area. And the first thing is what we're doing right now. It is our Sunday morning experience. This is where we come in. We invite our friends. We invite non-churched people, guests, and we like, just check us out. Check out this God whom we worship. And they, you hear the songs we sing, the prayers that we say, how we love on one another, the testimonies we share. This is the first step where you experience, wow, your God is like this. And this God touched your life in such a way that you would behave and treat others this way. I want this. I want to keep coming. And so for some of you, the first step of this discipleship process is, I have to come back. I have to see if this is just a fluke or if this is real deal. And so the first step in your discipleship-making process is, I'm just going to come back Sunday morning, next Sunday, and see if I experience it all over again. My hope and my prayer during the week is you will. Because we don't want to be fake. We don't want to put on a performance. This is who our God is. This is what God has done for me specifically. And so I come here to respond to that through song, through hearing the word spoken. And then from that, we go into the smaller groups where we can have discussions, where it's not just one person speaking to you, but you can actually give feedback. And we can call those Sunday school or life groups. Sunday school meets at 9:30 every Sunday morning. You've got this sheet of paper. And it's Sunday school where you can go so deep into Scripture, into the Bible, where you can ask some pretty hard questions. And what's so great about Sunday school classes, sometimes you can ask a question and the response is, wow, that's a great question. I don't know. Let's try to explore that together. And I don't know about you, but to me that is so refreshing that there are other people in the same tracks of life, the same situations, and we're just trying to learn more. Life groups is similar. It's a little different. Instead of coming here to a location throughout the week, we're meeting in people's homes. And you had on the back the names of our current life group leaders, where they're meeting. If you can find them after the service, if you're interested, you can still attend a life group. My only word of caution is some of these life groups are packed to the gills. And so you may go to someone and say, hey, I would love to go to your life group. And they said, that's fantastic, but you'd have to sit on someone's lap because we're just so crowded. But these life groups are amazing. We're exploring outreach and how outreach is not simply a program or an event, but it's a lifestyle where how you live is a reaching out to the community and asking questions. And you hear a number of things, a number of people saying, wow, I never thought of it that way. I never viewed this like that before. And this is all part of growing and discipleship. But we don't want to be a church full of head knowledgeable people only, do we? There's an aspect of a disciple which is a learner, someone who is sucking in information like a sponge. You're just absorbing information, and that's Sunday school, Sunday morning response, life groups. But we want to be active. We want to be disciples who not only pull in information, but we want to then apply it and then respond to that information. And that's where we join ministry teams. On this sheet of paper, this is where you can actually respond, and I hope you do. This is for everybody. Everyone in this room has a next step that you can take. Whether it's, man, you know what? I need to come back because this obviously is not a typical Sunday where I'm sharing all about the specifics of this church. I need to come back and see what's going on here at Gilead Friends. And so you would check Sunday morning attendance. That would be my next step. Some of you have been attending Sunday morning for a long time, and it's good, and it's great, and you love it. But if we're going to be active disciples of Jesus, we need to take that next step. And so your check mark is happening under Sunday school or life groups. And we've given you so much information to explore and ask questions, and so you check that. Maybe you've been involved. Maybe you're attending Sunday school class. You're coming Sunday morning. You're part of a life group. You're doing everything. But as far as responding to all of this information, maybe you haven't quite yet. You feel like, you know what, I can't be like these people who stand up here. I don't have this gift. It would make me nervous. I would sweat from the palm of my hands if I had to get up in front of people, if I had to lead anything. On the other side, we have a list of things that are really, really simple to do, which would be a great entry point into responding to this kind of discipleship learning. If you have been here for 3 weeks, if you've attended Gilead Friends Church for 3 weeks, already you can be a greeter. You can be someone who is standing at the door and says, hey, I am so glad you're here. You're new, so am I. This is fantastic, isn't it? They let crazy people like us greet people at the door. It's fantastic. You laugh, but there is something about someone who is excited about being at someplace new, greeting someone. Imagine this. Hey, I'm so glad you're here. Here's a bulletin. Can I show you to, you know, you've got kids. We got little Gilead down here. And compare that to, hello, why are you here? You smell funny. Bathrooms are down the hall. I'm not saying that anybody does that. At least I've never experienced that. Lyle Black was terrific in opening doors and making sure people felt, you belong here, and we are so happy that you are here. Treat church like your home. Typically, you're excited when a guest comes to your home, unless they're from the IRS or from the government. I'm here to help. Then we, you know, shut the door and hide. But there are a number of things here on this serve sheet. Door greeters, hosts, someone standing at the information item, and you're just there as a resource person. Ushers, parking lot attendants, helping with our sound booth, joining this band up here. Dan is continuously looking for people to help him out. Chair team people, nursery workers, Little Gilead staff. If you just want to check those off, write your name. If you write your name on this and you check it off, I guarantee you someone will get back to you. If nothing else, they'll say, I'm so glad you were awake Sunday morning during the church service. How can I pray for you? It's just this first step into being and making active disciples. This is what we're about at Gilead Friends. And we want to do it with excitement. We want to enjoy being and making active disciples. So I hope you enjoy yourself today. I hope you enjoy yourself coming here and worshiping God and then going out through your week saying, this is the God I worship. This is fantastic. If you currently serve in some capacity, thank you so much. What you do is amazing. The way you give. For the Little Gilead staff, this is your ministry. You come into church, and your mentality is, we are going to serve the families and their children. It's not so much, oh man, I have to miss the Sunday service like it's any big deal. Oh my goodness. But you get to minister to children. You get to be possibly that first step where someone, one little boy or girl, gets to hear how amazing Jesus is. Is that not fantastic? If you're a Sunday school teacher, you get to speak into the lives of these young adults and adults in different life situations, and we thank you so much for your willingness to do that. If you're a greeter, if you're a host, if you're an usher, you are so vital to how this church operates in pursuing, being, and making active disciples. May I encourage you as we wrap up this morning. Check us out. Take that next step. Mark that piece of paper. Write your name down. And if you're not comfortable doing that, find one of these people and say, what's it like? I mean, is it really as much fun as it seems to be? Everybody comes up here and they have a good time. They make you laugh. Or man, is Pastor Richard just a taskmaster? I mean, is he just beating us about the face and head? Ask questions. Explore. Learn more. Before we go, we have one more thing to do to wrap up this entire Sunday of who we are. We have some new members of Gilead Friends Church. And how we understand membership here in Evangelical Friends Church, it's a two-way street. In your bulletin, you can see the names of people. We have Josh and Andrea Chase, Zach and Katie Gossett, Adam Waldron, and Bonnie Tennant. If you would come forward and stand in front of all these people and make faces at them, it would be fantastic. We welcome you into membership. But we want to pray for you. We want to greet you. The way we understand membership here at Gilead Friends, it's a two-way street. when they go through this membership class, exploring Gilead Friends, what is an evangelical friend, what do we believe, how do we operate, then they ask questions, and then they explore. Membership is this understanding that when you become a member of this church, you partner with us. You understand that God has given you abilities. God has given you areas of expertise, understandings, experiences that you can pour into the church as a whole. And so you agree, I will do this. I will partner with you. I will attend. I will give of my time, of my finances. I will serve. I will be in that engine of the train. And the church's position is not, sweet, great, we're just going to absorb everything. But now the church says, we want to provide you every opportunity to explore your gifts. And so this is kind of why we did this morning. Just a brief overview of everything that we have to offer. And so with these people, we welcome them into membership. And by welcoming them, I ask you to stand and give them a hand of applause while our elders come and greet them with a handshake. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being faithful to this church and the people who call this their church, your church. Father, as we continue to move forward, may you give us insight, wisdom, and direction and where you would want each one of us to serve, to pour into those coming behind us. Father, the gospel of Jesus Christ is too important to take for granted. It's too important to sit on the sidelines and let someone else do it. But from the words of Jesus, you do it. You have prayed, God, send the workers, and now it's your turn. May that be a challenge for all of us in the coming weeks as we ask, as we explore, where can I step into Gilead Friends? What is my next step? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you leave, if you fill those out, just fold over this piece of paper, and there will be baskets by the door. Just toss them in there. You are dismissed. Go with God this week.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. Trust in you alone, higher than my sight, high above my life. I will trust in you alone. Where you go, I'll go.
Almighty Lord, joy.